If I am in the shower and you are doing a shit, we might never have sex again.
I feel like I've been in this roommate phase with my partner for a while now, and it just feels like we're two ships sailing by one another in the house.
Is it a sign of like comfortability to the point where you're like, this is safety, this is peace, this is good? Or is it a sign of like you're actually sliding into like complacency and maybe the relationship is slightly doomed?
It's kind of just like a bit of a weapon in a way to make someone want to break up with you because you're too much of a coward to just do it.
Lesbian Beth dead.
Beth dead. Title of a Daily Mail article. Lesbian Beth dead. Straight Beth thriving.
Hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen, and at one point in my life, I lived in a share house with seven other roommates.
Jesus Christ, that's too many.
It was, but it was my first share house out of home, and I was so proud. I was so happy. You know, it was just like romanticized in my eyes, and yeah. I remember bringing my parents over and being like, look, and I think about it now, they must have been like, oh my God, it's so nice, because it was like cockroaches everywhere, crumbs. It was like peak Sydney, like, sharehouse living.
Oh, my God. They would have walked in to, like, 100% humidity yes. as well.
That's why there were so many roaches.
They could just walk living. Out sopping wet.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably, like, grimy, like, had, like, baby wipes in the car being like, oh, my God.
It's really important, though. You had to do that.
It was. It was formative for sure.
I haven't done a seven-person one, but I've done four people in a two-bedroom during 2020.
Ooh. That during was COVID wild. Years.
During COVID
in
years.
In Melbourne?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are you from that?
It was actually really fun. I feel like we made the most of it. It definitely got to the point, like, we had to move after that first year because we were like, there's not enough. And it didn't look like it was going to end.
How many bathrooms?
One.
Oh, same here. Same here. It's in the giant mansion in Sydney, one bathroom.
And that actually leads me to mine. Oh. Hi, I'm Jordan Barr, guesting. Jumping in for Dee Salmon, and I believe it is the 21st century. If you are building homes, why are the bathroom and the toilet in the same space? I believe they should Whoa. Be separate spaces.
Yep.
I've just moved into a new house where they're in one space, and I gotta tell you, I don't like that toothbrush being in there.
I know what you mean.
I have to, like, I keep it separate. I don't, and I'm like, also, like, a shower is such a, like a special place, you know? It's like, it's where you clean, it's where you like refresh, yeah. And then like it's for it to also be the place where you like do a shit.
Yeah.
It's like it feels so thankless and unceremonious. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, and imagine when you're in the shower and then your partner comes in and they're like, sorry, I just really have to go. I really need to go. And you're like, hello. Trying to have my fucking meditation here. I'm trying to have my shower moment and you're in here taking shit.
That's why that's a real line in the sand for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can't be doing that. No, if I'm in the shower, I can't. I think that leans us pretty nicely into this episode. But if I am in the shower and you are doing a shit, we, unfortunately, for me personally, we might never have sex again. That's the reality of it.
Yo.
I know that it's not the case for a lot of people, and I wish I wasn't such a prude about it. Hey, I wish I was free. But there's something, and it's not even about like the shit.
You're not a prude. This is totally normal.
But it's like, it's not even like, you know, everybody has to do it, I imagine. Yeah. But like, it's more the like, it's more the action of it. You know, you're not yourself on the toilet.
No, it's too comfortable at that point, potentially.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is kind of the perfect segue into this topic.
It is.
You may have clicked this and thought, what is roommate syndrome? We just gave a pretty good example of that, where you get to a level of comfortability where things start to feel not so romantic, shitting in front of each other,
uh-huh.
Your partner and you may not even be living with the partner, but it just gets to a point where you're like, are we still like in love and dating, or are we kind of slipping into what this might be called as a roommate phase or roommate syndrome? Mm. So in this episode, we are going to figure out some of the signs of roommate syndrome and if it can be a syndrome or if it's a phase, can you get out of it? Plus, we're going to kind of unpack the idea of comfort and safety versus like passion and love, and whether or not we need to redefine the way we think about long-term relationships. Do we need to redefine the expectations as well and reframe them as well? That's what we're going to unpack in this episode. So let's get into it. So let's get into the definition of roommate syndrome slash phase. And I kind of want to emphasize it comes up as both when you do search this online.
Yeah, I've heard both.
Yeah, it can be both. And I think we should hold space for the fact that it can be a phase because, as I said before, can you get out of it? We're going to find out, right? Mm. So the definition is it's basically when you're in a long-term relationship with somebody and it's romantic and then it slides into something that feels more like a friend or a partnership or just like literally a living arrangement with somebody.
Yeah.
And it can happen when you don't live with a partner, but I think it kind of happens a little more easily if you are living with the person, which a lot of you are. I guess I wanted to ask, like, you, Jordan, have you ever experienced this roommate syndrome or phase in your life before?
I believe I have. Mm. And I came out the other side stronger.
Oh, a success story.
It was definitely, I mean, we were chatting about, you know, COVID and lockdown at the start of the episode. Mm. My partner and I had been living together. It was our first year living together during 2020. And then sort of the end of 2021, we both just started to get, it was when things were sort of opening up a little bit after that massive lockdown where we were living in Melbourne. And it just felt like there were a myriad of things. Our dog had this major surgery. So one of us had to be at home with her for like a month. So we were sort of like, we were working on a routine. We were working on like literally a shift schedule with this dog taking care of her. Also, we weren't able to see a lot of other people. So it just became this like weird kind of routine situation rather than actually us thinking about us and having fun and a good time. And so we sort of, when things opened up, we had a bit of a pause where I stayed back at my parents' place. Shout out, Mom and Dad. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, hello.
It was only for a couple of weeks, but it was just for us to like literally have a breath of fresh air and just be like, okay, what do we want? We both still wanted to be together, but we just needed to change how we were doing because it, you know, and it's also a queer relationship thing as well, where it's like we could very easily be friends, yeah. But do we want to be friends or do we want to be something more? And we both wanted something more, but we just had to change the routine and also like shake it up a little bit,
yeah.
And make sure that we were both checking in on each other's needs. It was an intimacy thing as well during literally that period of time. We just weren't as like romantic with one another or as intimate. But then when we checked in, we were both like, we're both just not feeling it.
Yeah.
And then it came back. So it's like,
well, yeah. There are like lots of stats and studies about like how relationships suffered during COVID. So many people were breaking up, but also like having to live with each other while broken up, or they were in the scenario of you and a lot of other people just being like, the romance is kind of like subsided or faded a little bit and we physically cannot go out and do date stuff that actually brings a spark and a life back into a relationship.
Yeah.
But I think people are still experiencing that now, and I think it's kind of tale as old as time. Like when you live with somebody, you get to that comfortable point where you slip into habits and you get a little bit complacent potentially. And even like the economy right now, it's I think people are finding it hard to go on dates at the moment. Like we've spoken to heaps of people on The Hookup where they're like, I can barely afford to date. Like I could do a coffee date or like a walk along the beach
That's
date.
So true.
So it's something that you're going to encounter, I think, at any point in your relationship, even if right now you're listening to this and you're like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We are like fucking down bad for each other. But it's like, if you are in a long-term relationship, you're going to go through ebbs and flows and you might experience this. So this is kind of why I think this episode is good and it might be helpful to people. So you are not alone. And I have my own experience of this, which I'll save for a little bit later, but we asked you on our Triple J Hookup Instagram, at Triple J The Hookup. We asked, have you ever gone through a roommate syndrome or are you in a roommate phase? 77% of people said yes. Huge number. So let's explore some of the signs because we asked you about it. We were like, okay, how do you know when you're falling into this kind of pattern of roommate-dom? And one of the big ones that came out was leading separate lives. This is something that Britt had to say.
My ex-boyfriend and I were in a serious long-term relationship of 5 years. We did not live together, yet still experienced what I later realized was roommate syndrome. We did get really comfortable in our relationship. We started living our lives quite independently from one another, and as a result was simply spending less time together. I think we both thought it was just a natural progression in our relationship, considering the tenure of the relationship and the fact we thought we were each other's person, end game, whatever you want to call it, with marriage and children on the cards in the near future.
So as Britt said there, she was like, we started leading really separate lives. And this is something that happened to me and an ex of mine at one point where we were together for a really long time, living together, got super comfortable. And for some reason, I don't know why or how it happened, but like I just kept my friend circle from them really separate.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like it kind of just started like as like maybe a coincidence of like they weren't around for like a certain couple of like key core events, or like they also didn't have the same interests as like me and my friends. And I, at the start of the relationship, was like, I love how independent we are. Like I love that we have our separate lives and that like we do our different things. But by the end of the relationship, I kind of realized that that was actually to its own detriment. And I felt like that actually really affected the way that we functioned as a couple and the fact that like we weren't as close because we weren't sharing what is a really important part of my life, which is my friends. And like I literally like they're my ride or dies. Like I love my friends so much and I've always had really good friendships. So it's interesting to hear like how many people were saying that in the DMs as well, like even going on like separate holidays, stuff like that.
Totally. And because I think that there's something, and I'm the same way, where when you're kind of like fiercely independent, because I was single for like most of my life. Well, yes, I was a child for a lot of it. But, you know, I've always valued my independence, and I also like, I was kind of judgy of other people in relationships when it was their entire thing. And now as I've gotten older, I'm like, it just depends on the person. And it also depends on how much people are introverted or extroverted and stuff like that. And there's a myriad of different relationships that suit different people. But I think for me, I was like, no, I'm always going to be independent. And like, I don't want to be one of those people who refers to my partner as my best friend.
My God.
I already have my best friend.
Yes, exactly.
Get out of the way. Spice Girl energy.
Yeah.
but then I agree. It gets to a point where you're like, but I want to be able to like share these moments with you, or like you got to be able to gossip with your partner as well.
Oh my God.
And if they don't understand the lore of what's going on.
Yeah.
Sorry, but you're roommates.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I think that kind of leads into the second thing that we found from the DMs, that people were saying that they had really surface level chats and no like quality, like deep chats.
Yeah.
And I think if you are not folding your partner in and like bonding them into your friend life and including them in such a significant way, then how are you going to have like deeper conversations and have goss?
Exactly.
If you don't know. So it's like you come home from, you know, hanging out with your mates or just your day at work or whatever, and then you're just literally having like really base level, like, how was your day? Like this, that, and the other. All right, cool. I'm going to go shower and I'm going to go game, or I'm going to go read. And like, you don't really get into like deep stuff. So that was something that came up a lot as well. Frenchie here saying, we were physically attracted to each other and we thought we couldn't live without each other. The truth is we had nothing in common. And after a while we had nothing to talk about and we just became flatmates.
Wow.
So that is something that, a lot of people said that happened to them. One of the most obvious signs that just kept coming up in our DMs and is rightfully the biggest sign that you are becoming roommates with a romantic partner is the fact that your sexual intimacy has gone.
Yeah.
I personally have definitely experienced this a bunch before, as you said.
Like yeah.
You have as well.
It happens.
It happens. So this is something that Cara told us about.
One of my exes and I years ago fell into the roommate syndrome, but I didn't even realize. We dated for just under 5 years, and about a year before we broke up, we did speak about how the sex had started to dwindle, and it did concern me at the time, but honestly, not a lot, because the vibes were still really good. We got along really well, like we lived really harmoniously, there was no other obvious issues, we still had fun together. But then one day I was blindside dumped. And now I can see that we were just mates living together. And just because we got along didn't really mean we still had a romantic connection. And I think we were both way too young to give up on a lot of sex. So thank God he pulled the trigger. We are both way better off.
Totally. I mean, sure. Like, you don't want to get caught in like companion mode where you're just going to the movies on Mondays for the senior deal. That's rude of me. I apologize.
But it's great.
But I think that's where you check in, and that's like if you like, and especially with long-term relationships, there's going to be like ebbs and flows. It's kind of seasonal, especially with like my hormones are crazy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It changes up. So it's like important to like check in, or if it's been a while, or if you're not feeling as like intimate, just making sure that, I think personally, like just checking in and seeing where everyone's at, because then there are times where it might pick up again. But it also, you can have that discussion of being like, do we need to like redirect our vision back to each other, or is it actually a sign that maybe it's over?
Yeah, and it's interesting that she mentioned how she was like, thank God he did, because we were so young. Yeah. We should be having a lot of sex.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
to me,
yeah.
It's like, that's an interesting point to make and be like, yeah, maybe you just weren't right for each other. But something that came up in the DMs regarding like the sexual intimacy gone, and what you kind of flagged at the top of this was like, you said it was a really common queer experience. Mm-hmm. We had a few people say like, this is just a lesbian Beth dead. Wait, I'm sorry. Beth dead?
Lesbian deathbed is
R.I.P. Beth. She's dead.
Beth. Oh my God. Little Women. Wait.
Oh my God. Don't.
Yeah. Scarlet Fever.
Stop. That actually triggered me. Yes. No, I should have said lesbian bed death. You guys, I'm coming off like a 5-day cold.
You're
I'm
doing
not
so well.
Well.
I've heard the phrase lesbian bed death before. A lot of people don't like that phrase. I don't think it's exclusive to lesbians. I think that lesbians are just over communicators. Do you know what I mean? So it's like we're actually talking about it. The amount of straight couples I know who break up and then like come to find out they hadn't had sex in 2 years or something, or like a year. Like, it's a really common thing and it happens in a lot of relationships, but it has this, you know, the connotations of it being a queer, or like, you know, lesbian bed death has this title because lesbians gave it to themselves, because they're like, yeah, this is a thing. And it's like, no, it's actually happening across the board. And yeah, and I think maybe the phrase lesbian bed death is more of a thing because it's there's there's a friendship there and there's a kinship there because you're both also like, you know, not men. And, and it's something, and you're like, actually, we give each other a lot in our lives. Whereas maybe for straight women, when they're like, well, we're not having sex and you suck.
Yeah.
Like, I am looking after this house, I'm looking after these kids, and you also don't want to have sex with me. What's going on here?
Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head.
See above, Lily Allen.
So yes, Lily Allen, exactly. Lily Allen. Lily. Well, yeah, that's one of the biggest signs. And we kind of wanted to explore as well, like, why people think that they become roommates. And you've touched on like a bunch of really good stuff there, which we will get into. But let's talk about it, because it can kind of happen, as we said, to anybody. There can be so many different factors as to why. There's like outside influences, inside influences. There's like sunk cost fallacy of being like, oh, I've just spent so much time with this person. Like, why would I break up with them? Maybe we can get through the roommate phase.
Yeah.
Who knows? But like, some of the main things that came up in the DMs for us as to why, and this would be like what I class as a sort of an outside influence, and where people still really want to be together, but they're just going like basically survival mode, is with kids, right? Kids was like one of the biggest things. Yeah. Hannah here saying that young kids and babies leave you tapped out physically from overstimulation and bedtime. Another thing that people talked about is like outside influences being just like life coming at you fast.
Yeah.
And having like your circumstances change. Like, COVID is a great one, but there's so many other things like sick relatives and family members, like death, friends, problems, all of those kind of things. And this is what Amy was saying about that.
Life doesn't stay the same, generally speaking, so relationships are not going to stay the same. Sometimes your life is less exciting than normal. Sometimes it's more stressful. So I feel like, you know, when you're going through a stressful time in your personal life, it's very likely that your relationship will take a hit, because you might not have enough bandwidth to work on your relationship, do fun things and do exciting things. So it might lead to that roommate syndrome.
When you're in panic mode, or when there's a lot going on in your life, it's easy to look at your partnership or look at this and be like, oh, I just have to, maybe I just have to finish that.
Well, that's like the constant. You're like hoping that that will just stay the same. And you're just like, I can kind of park you.
Yeah.
And even though it can be kind of hurtful and it can be to the detriment of the relationship, it's like, you're like the one stable thing in my life, because work is fucking like chewing my ass, and like this other thing is chewing my ass. What is the fuck is wrong with me today?
You must have a different management team than me. I wish.
Damn. My edge checks be different to yours.
Well, I think that's, and not to be like, oh God, I kind of I don't know if I love saying this, but it depends on like where you are in your life and stuff like that. But these, and I've said it 1,000 times already, but these check-ins, maybe you need to have quarterlies with your partner.
Shout out Dee Salmon, who does relationship check-ins with Darcy.
You have to. Yeah. I think it's really good.
It's really good.
And sometimes it happens naturally and sometimes you fight and then you go, should we have a check-in?
Yeah. Yes. Well, sometimes you haven't had sex for 6 months and you're like, should we talk about that? Should we talk about where we want to be? Yeah. Another thing that people were saying is like a lot of like mental health and other health issues was like a reason why, again, like the survival mode. It's like you still want to be with this person, but you're dealing with a lot in your own life. Daisy here saying chronic illness plays a huge part. I'm really unwell and I'm not feeling myself, so it's really hard. That makes complete sense, because I feel like if you're coping with some kind of chronic health issue, you're not going out on dates. Like, you're not trying to like insert fun into your life. You're literally just like trying to get day-to-day living. Like,
yeah.
Basic and resting stuff. Yeah, as well. Exactly. Like having showers can be like really, really hard. So that in itself is like, yeah, that's exactly why someone could slip into roommate phase.
100%. It's interesting because there are, from what's some of the like voice memos we've got and stuff like that, it's like some breakups are also great. You know, if you feel like it's such a gut instinct thing, but if you feel like you're stuck in this mode and you can have these check-ins and everything's fine, but if it's the same thing over and over again, if you keep coming up against the same barriers.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Break up.
It might not be the right situation for you, for sure. Something that you said before about like when we're talking about like lesbian Beth dead.
Title of a Daily Mail article, Lesbian Beth Dead, Straight Beth Thriving.
No, I mean bed death. But before, when we were talking about like the romance and the sex being gone, like I cannot even tell you like how many people this has affected, right? It's super, super common. And one DM that really stood out to me was someone who said, I broke up after 15 years and 7 years without sex. And I was like, that's such a long time to be in the roommate syndrome in the phase.
7 years is a long time.
7 years, right? And this is the thing. And I was like, why are people staying in these roommate like situations with their romantic partners for so long? Like, why? Like, there are obviously so many reasons, but like, why are we staying so long? Again, the only conclusion I could draw from what I was hearing in the DMs is people like, again, just survival mode, like really genuinely trying to survive each day. This is something that E sent us, and it made me feel some type of way.
So I feel like I've been in this roommate phase with my partner for a while now. We've got two young kids, we both work full time, and it just feels like we're two ships sailing by one another in the house. We just don't have the time or energy for each other. It's really sad. I mean, we're rarely intimate with each other and only find that we can string together a conversation when the kids have gone to sleep. But by that time, we're just so exhausted, to be honest. It's a really lonely feeling.
See, this is the thing I felt like her and a lot of other people were sort of saying, that they still wanted to be in the relationship. It wasn't like they didn't want to be there, and it wasn't like a complacency or a laziness issue or incompatibility. It was just like, you just have to like manage what's going on. And like, we, like her saying, like, we still are really intimate, but we just like stringing together like a sentence and then having a go to bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, capitalism has a lot to answer for, let's be honest. This, true. Like, cost of living, there's people working a lot longer, working several jobs. And,
oh my God, true. Yeah.
And it's like, and so you're exhausted. You're, and especially if there's other dependents hanging out with you. hanging out with you.
So, just vibing.
Vibing. But, you know, it's, it, of course, it makes sense. So, and it's, I understand for some people being in that roommate mode is, like you said, it's a necessity for now. But when it stretches out longer and longer, and it feels like it's happening a lot more to people, because there's not this like enjoyment period. Like even when you look at like reality shows where people win money, if you won a prize 30 years ago, everybody's like, I'm taking my family to Disneyland. And now if you win 30 grand, it's like, I'm going to pay off some debt. Like, it's not like the enjoyment has been taken out of things because cost of living is so extreme. And these couples and these partnerships, of course, they're exhausted from working. Yeah. And they can't, and there's just not as much freedom anymore.
This DM from Ben said, we had just moved to a new city, signed a lease, had a pet, and it was all just too hard to go through a breakup, especially when the rental market is so shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you're saying. That's what we're saying. Like, that's it. That's exactly it.
And so many people I know who've gone through breakups have ended up staying in the same house for months because it's pretty impossible. And that's a whole, like, another form of, like, trauma as well. Or they end up staying together.
Yeah.
Because, and not necessarily for good reasons.
Yeah. Obviously, we've heard quite a few people who I felt like did want to be with the people. Maybe Ben, not so much. But there were so many people who I felt like in the DMs and from the general research of roommate syndrome, it's like they didn't actually really want to be with each other. And it was kind of like a complacency thing, as I said. Tori saying we forget to keep dating. A relationship is like a car. It needs maintenance, regular refueling, etc. If we don't do maintenance, the car stops working and the spark and attraction will fade. Check-ins, right?
Check-in.
Josh said, my partner started doing the bare minimum. I carried the relationship, the house, the chores. Everything was fine, but the romance died. The fatigue of everything falling on me made me realize she was someone I simply lived with. I lost love, respect, and had to move on. Interesting to hear from a guy's perspective about, like, the mental load.
Yeah.
Normally it's the other way around.
Gotta say that it's – maybe this is sad, but I think someone doing chores around the house is hot. And I think we neglect that. I think a lot, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, you want the intimacy to come back?
Yeah.
Change your tire. Yeah. Or like do the
clean
washing.
Shower.
You know? Yeah. So like maybe that's a, you know, love languages thing or whatever. I love love languages. I don't care what anybody says. But like maybe an acts of service thing and just like showing up and doing things for one another. It doesn't have to, even if you're like stuck in this mode where you don't really have time to go out and you can't afford to date as much. Mm. But like what's like the kindness that you can do for one another that just like keeps the spark.
Yeah. And you also need to be aware that the people are doing it and not take it for granted though.
Because
I agree with you. I'm literally like, there's nothing better than feeling taken care of.
Yeah.
Where someone's just done something without you asking and you're like, God, that's hot. Like that's so beautiful and nice and actually genuinely attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you also need to be in the right frame of mind to be able to see that they did it.
I know.
And I think people slip into that with the roommate thing, right?
Yeah.
Because like I said, like life and shit is just getting so hard on the outside. And maybe your personal life or your mental health is not that great or whatever you're going through. And it's like, you don't even see them doing it. So
or when you start like literally treating each other like housemates, where you're like, hey, it's just like, guys, if we could just pick up the plates, if you're talking to each other like that.
Yeah. Do you mind beaming me $50 for the electricity and also that internet bill's coming through in a month? So like, just be aware of that.
Be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking A.
I know. And that's hard. Oh, it's so hard. It's so, so hard. Another thing that came up where I felt like people were struggling with like the why they kept staying in it, even though they didn't necessarily want to be in it, was like the fear of breaking up, right?
So true.
And I think this is something that people really like resonated with in the DMs. We got this voice memo from Lily, who had a pretty interesting take on roommate syndrome and how can some people can be a bit cowardly with it.
It had definitely run its course and it went for a way longer than it should have. And we both, I think, wanted to move on for different reasons, but you know, we still cared about each other and didn't want to go through the heartbreak. So I think it just dragged on. And one of the excuses I think my ex at the time gave was, you know, I feel like we're more like roommates. Maybe we should just be roommates, this and that. Yeah, it's kind of just like a bit of a weapon in a way to kind of make someone want to break up with you because you're too much of a coward to just do it.
Interesting the way that Lily phrases it as like it's an excuse and stuff like that. I think it's a legitimate reason to like want to freshen things up or to want to break up, sure. But yeah, totally. I can see why you might be pissed off as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're like, well, you haven't done anything to fix that.
Yeah, it's hard. We had a DM from Aaron saying, I went through this about 10 years ago. My boyfriend went off sex completely. We worked opposite shifts. It was like passing ships in the night, eating, sleeping and living alone, but together. We even started going on holidays alone. Then two overseas trips within a month, he suddenly broke it off, saying we were more friends than lovers. A week later, I found him on the couch with another guy. Apparently, they'd been seeing each other for months. So people just like very comfortable, very scared of maybe breaking it off because it was just so comfortable and good. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're afraid of change or, you know, changing the future. But that's like malicious.
I've seen, hey.
Hey.
And And fellas, I'd love to get your attention here. You can break up with people without cheating on them.
Yeah.
And I think it's,
I think that's the preferred way.
It's the preferred way. And I think it's this fear of confrontation or this the people pleasing, like toxic people pleasing thing that people get caught in. And they're so scared to bring it up that the only way they can sort of end relationships in is by blowing it up a little bit,
yeah,
or by doing something that means like there's no turning back, rather than sitting down and being like, let's have this conversation. And then it becomes blindsiding.
The hardest breakup is when you're just like, I just kind of lost feelings for you.
Yeah.
It's not actually anything bad that you've done or anything. And it's almost like harder for the other person to swallow and vice versa. And speaking of like the falling out of love part of it, this was another thing we saw in the DMs. People realizing as well when they like were living with someone long term and their true self was kind of revealed and they were like, oh, actually I'm not really into you, but like maybe they're like Ben, who they're like, I just signed a lease. Fuck my life.
Maybe we can try and
make this worse. Like, I don't know. Not worse.
Maybe we can make this worse.
We can make it worse as well, but you know, we could try and make it work.
That's a fun check-in.
Yeah.
What if we made this worse?
Another thing that did come up a little bit, not so much as the others, but something that I wanted to mention was another reason why people tend to stay really long is potentially because of a manipulative partner.
Yeah.
I feel like what Aaron was saying before, it was like, to be honest, that person sounded like they wanted to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Like they had like the easygoing boyfriend at home and then they were like shagging someone off for a couple of months on the side. But there is manipulation that can be involved and abuse can be involved. This is something that Molly went through.
I was in a 10-year relationship. I met my then husband when I was 18 and he was 22. If I'm being completely honest, it only took me maybe a year or two until I kind of lost interest in sort of sex and just really spending time together. Like I just felt like we just clashed on a lot of things. And I ended up ending it 10 years later, and it took me until almost another 10 years later than that to realize that it wasn't my fault. It was because he diminished me and tried to change my personality and everything about me. And I've spent the last 20 years thinking that it was entirely my fault. But it turns out that if the person that you love doesn't treat you well, then it can kind of fizzle out and turn into awkward friend zone where you low-key hate each other.
Yeah.
And good for you for getting out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Like, big shout out to you, Molly. And obviously, like, it took you a decade or more to realize what was going on there and how you were blaming yourself for that. And it's like, yeah, sometimes it's hard when you see friends going through that, or even if you've been through it yourself and people are going like, why are you around? Like, why are you sticking around with this dickhead? Like, what's going on? And it can be really insidious, like undercurrent, like, you know, subtle or not so subtle, like manipulation and sometimes abuse to like keep somebody in that scenario for however long. So that's another big reason I think why people can sometimes end up in this roommate situation. And like Molly said at the end, she was like, we low-key hated each other.
Yeah.
But for some reason stayed together for like 10 years, which is wild.
You're just stuck in these domestic roles as well. I think that's a really important thing to think about, is to be like, is this roommate syndrome or am I the housekeeper?
Yeah.
You know, have I become a mother to this person? I think that can be really important to think about and tricky to navigate, and just start like thinking about like, hey, are we not leaving the house or am I not leaving the house and doing cool stuff? And I think a lot of people, especially when things get a little bit more serious and stuff like that, we can easily fall into this like Madonna whore complex situation as well, where like the person at home is the one who like you like it becomes a mother figure and blah, blah, blah. And that's why you don't feel that much intimacy towards them, or you're not receiving much intimacy because somebody's put you in this slot. And it's like, you know, it's Lily Allen again.
You
made me your Madonna. I want to be your whore.
Yes. So something we have been discussing this whole time is like, how is it possible to get out of the roommate syndrome? Is it a phase or is it a syndrome that you live with for life?
Mm-hmm.
I think most of you can tell by now, like you can get out of it. But we did ask on the Triple J Instagram, at Triple J The Hookup, we asked, were you able to bounce back from it as a couple or did you break up? 38% said yes, we were able to come through. And then 62% said, no, we broke up. Which is interesting because you are in the minority right here, which is crazy.
I remember when we were sort of going through it, it didn't feel finite. But I think with other people, they can sense that it's done. And it's totally like case by case. But I'm not surprised that people did break up. And breakups, I think, always good.
Yeah.
Always good.
We got this DM from Kari saying, I got through the roommate phase by pretending it was an early dating phase. Looked at him and felt nothing. So gave him a kiss on the forehead and a rub on the back. The feelings came back after the actions. I figured that's what commitment is. Action and effort water the garden even when you don't feel like it. Also, booked in 2 hours of quality time a week. No phone or TV and slept naked to feel close.
That's cute.
These are great tips, actually, genuinely.
I like that. Well, I think a lot of it is more practical than people think. Like, there's also the deep emotional connection stuff, but maybe it is literally some practical stuff. It's like physical touch, leaving the phone, doing those things that you're like, oh, it mustn't mean anything. And then you're like, oh, actually, when we like get each other flowers or like write each other notes.
We actually have heaps of episodes to help with this kind of stuff as well, by the way. I'll put it in the show notes, but one that comes to mind is we did an episode about like how to get the chemistry back, like how to get the spark back.
Perfect.
So that is in your feeds. I'll put it in the show notes, but we do have resources for you if you're listening and being like, fucking help me through this. One of the big questions that I really wanted to ask as part of this episode was kind of like looking at like maybe redefining what relationships look like in long term and maybe even what romance looks like in a long term sort of scenario.
Because
that was one of the big questions that we wanted to figure out with this episode. It was like, is it a sign of like comfortability to the point where you're like, this is safety, this is peace, this is good? Or is it a sign of like, you're actually sliding into like complacency and maybe the relationship is slightly doomed? Like, this is a big question that we wanted to ask. So we asked you on our polls as well. We love a poll. We said, is the roommate phase a sign of confidence, safety, or is it the beginning of the end? 70% of you said, yes, relationships naturally slow down and change. And 30% of you said, no, you're doomed, which is grim. And maybe that was my fault for wording it that way.
No, I love it.
But it's kind of fun.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
You're doomed.
Yeah. Jess said in the DMs, I believe it can be 50-50. It probably starts as a confidence safety, but then can potentially create a stagnant feeling. Then the longer it goes on without intimacy or time together for each other, doing dates, etc., it becomes the beginning of the end. And Jen saying kind of what you were saying before, it signals that you might be in the wrong relationship and that you're wrong for each other. Lack of communication or lying equals this result being you're going to be roommates, you're not going to be lovers.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what Aaron said with the boyfriend.
Yeah,
who cheated.
Totally.
This is a really interesting take from Tegan that I'd love for you to hear, Jordan.
Our society has this idea that we're meant to be constantly in love and fucking, but we're all going to grow old one day and lose our looks and our ability to do anything. In the end, all that matters is that we're best friends with our partner. Love actually builds and we are pumped up on serotonin and dopamine at the start. And we are expecting perfection from this one person. We're constantly assessing and eventually those chemicals wane and we go back to our individualism in judging whether we're satisfied in our relationship.
What do you reckon of that?
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about like the safety of it all. You know, I think it's easy for us to judge relationships from the outside as well, but you don't know what people have been through before that, you know. And I think it is, I was thinking about this when we were chatting about the safety earlier and listening to that voice memo. You can be like having those like moments where like, you know, Kayla is like playing on their DS and then I'm like on my phone on TikTok. I know I literally was like, get the phones out of the room, but like if we're like on the couch or we're just like watching TV and like those moments are also so special and feel so good and that comfortability with someone is so great. But I think it's also like just making sure you still care about each other and that you're still prioritizing and doing kind things for one another. I think if you're stuck in this mode where you're both on your phones in the same space but neither of you could be there.
Yeah.
And like one of you could leave and you wouldn't notice or something like that. That's when it's bad. But if you're like, no, this is us unwinding together, like us having nonverbal time is actually really important, together.
There's an element of being present.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. As soon as you don't miss that presence or it's, well, you don't care. Like, yeah. I think that's the big thing. If you don't really care if someone's there or not, or you're not, you're doing things for yourself rather than thinking about doing something for somebody else in your space. And that goes with friendships as well. Everything takes a bit of watering. And I think, yeah, it's easy to be like, no, you need to be like fucking like crazy doing all that. And it's like, well, I don't know. Then you might end up with Mr. Big.
Yeah.
That's kind of,
I think the feeling of like when you are like on your phone with somebody and if they were to leave and you wouldn't notice or wouldn't care, that is a really good indicator. And I feel like for me, it's like I kind of need to be like touching a part of their body. Like just
my foot
just needs to be on theirs. So I'm like, I know you're physically with me, even though I'm like maybe had a hard day and I'm disassociating or I'm just like enjoying my little TikTok doom scroll. It's just like that physical touch to be like, I want you here with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's intimacy to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's something like, as another point is, like you said, the phones thing. We are on our phones all the time. We are being fed what we think is love and romance and passion. And we don't have media stories of things that are just the mundane.
Yeah.
Right? And this is something that like you and I were talking about before we got onto this. And I was referencing like this Insta guy. I'm going to open up this link. I won't spend too much time on it, but Preston Rack, who does these like vox pops with people just talking about like relationships and love. I saw this and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to bring this up in the episode. I don't even need to because we got a voice memo of someone explaining this perfectly.
Yeah.
So this is from Nekarine, and this is what she had to say about her take on how love should actually be boring.
I'm currently in a relationship where all we do is stay home, play video games, do our own separate hobbies. And it, to be honest, yes, it's a little bit boring, but is it bad? Not really. Because my partner and I had only been in toxic relationships before where there's constant fighting, drama, really fast boiling passion. So when this post came up, I had to sit with the question and think, oh my God, is our relationship, my current relationship, is it doomed to fail because of how boring it is? Like, I thought about it and realized every relationship I see in like the movies or in social media really is full of drama. And I've come to realize no one makes a rom-com or make a big deal about them and their partners making dinner or falling asleep next to each other after a long day. And the small things don't add up to a relationship. They are the relationship.
Mm.
Like the daily routine, doing, you know, like I said, the laundry, doing the dishes, laughing at nothing. That's the whole thing. Like that is peace. You just have to find someone you love enough to live through these moments together with.
That's really nice.
I know. This is something that people should have more exposure to. I think there'll be people who listen to this and be like, that's just not me. Like, I'm just not a gamer person and I'm not really like chill like that. But I really liked that she came from the angle of like, we've come from these really toxic relationships where it was volatile and it was like fight or flight the whole time. And now I'm in this peaceful thing and it's never been better. It was really cool to hear like her come to that conclusion and feel safe and comfort. And this is something like this, like I said, there's something to be said about there's parts of this roommate syndrome that is like, it's nice, it's peaceful, it's comforting. And also it seems inevitable at some points in a long-term relationship. So like I said at the start of this, I'm like, you probably will go through this. It's about how you manage it and what you do after to get through it. She also added as well, she was like, don't know as well if this is an age thing. I'm 35 and I just want to have peace because I'm tired. Because a 25-year-old me would have a different take, I reckon.
Yeah, no, fully. Yeah. Absolutely. And like there's, and our idea of passion is like so warped by media as well. You know, like growing up, you're like, yeah, like he should probably be getting in punch-ons or he doesn't really care about me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're like, actually, maybe passion has like a tinfoil hat here, guys, but maybe it really has like this patriarchal lens where it's about controlling and about like being jealous rather than like actually doing things for one another. Mm. Like, just being kind. Fuck me.
This is like your whole bit today. I'm actually obsessed.
I can't. You're
like, just be kind, guys.
Just be fuck. Like, peace. Literally. Yeah. Like, yeah, 100%. And I think when you start to feel yourself being nasty to someone for the sake of it, or you feel them just being nasty to you, it's bad.
It's over.
Yeah.
And it should be. Well, you know, again, like to reference another pod, I'll put it in the show notes. We did an episode on, is social media cooking our expectations of dating?
Sure.
We really unpack like a lot of the things that kind of got brought up in this about like media and like what we're consuming on our social
media
as well.
Well, Mindy Kaling has this quote where she's like, I feel like we need to look at, and she writes rom-coms all the time, but we need to look at rom-coms and romance stories as fantasy. Mm. That like the same way we look at sci-fi and stuff like that.
And porn. It's like, you just know it's not real. Like,
you gotta know. You gotta.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. I guess, I agree with that. Yeah. I never thought about it like that. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, we probably should reframe that.
It's a fantasy. And it makes you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to sit through the summer I turned pretty if I was thinking about the logistics of it. I was like, just these two brothers?
Yeah.
No one else?
No one else? Yeah, for real. I love that. Well, another thing that came through as well, people were weighing in on this kind of debate, was reframing our idea of like expectations of long-term relationships, right?
For sure.
This is what Jake had to say.
Society would have us believe that it's all sunshine, rainbows, nights of passion, etc. It's just, it's not the case. It can be sometimes, and you have to sort of keep working at it to make that happen.
Yeah, another thing as well, Britt was saying, who we heard from at the top of this episode, she reckons there's something as well about like being a bit careful about separating like friends and lovers as well.
I do think it's very easy for people in longer term relationships to fall into the habit of kind of treating each other like you are friends and not necessarily lovers. And there is quite a distinction between the two roles that a friend or a lover plays in another person's life. So it's definitely important to acknowledge that.
I always come back to Esther Perel at this point because I feel like she really like explains so well about how our romantic partners now are meant to be like everything to us. So they're meant to be this person that you have intellectual, like challenging conversations with, your best friend, partner in crime, confidant, like lover, provider, like everything rolled into one. I hate to do this, but I'm going to throw to another episode. We did one about like whether your partner should be your best friend.
Right.
I have so many thoughts about this and I simply like, we're out of time.
Yeah.
We can't go into it. But like, I think what Britt was saying is kind of interesting and it kind of reminds me of that episode.
Yeah, totally.
So if you're a big believer in that, or if you want to debate me on it, fight me, listen to the other episodes.
It's such a case by case thing that like anything we've said, grain of salt. I mean, I sort of went through it and came out. You sort of went through it and decided to end it. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's it depends on each individual. But especially if you're in a relationship where someone is, where the balance is really off, you can go.
Yeah.
Don't worry about them. Yeah, and if they make you feel like they can't survive without you, they can.
Yeah.
They really can.
Jordan, thank you so much for hanging out with us on this episode. It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
A pleasure having you in this gorgeous little Jenna's closet.
I love it. This is the Pussy Palace.
The Pussy Palace. Yeah. In a way it is.
I love it.
All right. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.